As horrific as abortion is, Skip Heitzig says it may lead to something even more terrifying during the final days of this planet's history.
Society is paving the way to remove any life deemed unwanted, unviable, unproductive. With that mindset, when the world under the beast worship and the worship of this false system sees the impediment as those fundamental Christians who are always preaching about Jesus and are just remove them. That is sort of the trend that is being set even now.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
One of the freedoms we enjoy in America is the freedom to worship how we please. It's a very precious freedom that has also been the spark for some fierce conflicts, such as whether or not the Ten Commandments or manger scenes should be displayed in public. One day, however, such contentions will be moot because the entire world will worship according to the rules of one religion. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig explains why that will be a dark time in history. But before we begin, we wanted to give you a little more insight into the end times yet to come through the Alert 2.0 package we're offering this month. Here's more.
What will be breaking news tomorrow? We could easily wake up to a major crisis in the Mideast. It's clear the pressure is growing. Iran is determined to build, buy, or steal nuclear weapons. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and the clock is ticking. The Bible gives us clues about the future. And though we can't know the day, we can know the season. And the changes we see should get our attention. We need to be aware. Alert 2.0 is a package of teachings featuring Tim LaHaye, former terrorist Kamal Saleem, Skip Heitzig, and General Jerry Boykin.
And I believe we're facing an even greater threat today than that we faced in the Cold War. I believe the threat today from this thing called radical Islam is the greatest threat that we've ever faced.
Alert 2.0 has over 3 hours of teaching content, including two bonus messages by Skip Heitzig from his Rumblings of War series.
If your only hope is that new home or the new car, well, enjoy it now, but it's all going to burn.
Alert 2.0, featuring messages from Tim LaHaye, General Jerry Boykin, Kalam Saleem, and two bonus teachings by Skip Heitzig. Order your copy today for just $20 at connectionradio.org or call 1-800-922-1888.
And we'd love for you to inspect this more at our website, connectionradio.org. You can also write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Now, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17, and let's continue to explore history's last chapter as we learn about what will happen when this world has only one officially recognized religion. Here's a hint. It won't solve as many problems as you might think.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
As we begin today's study, Skip Heitzig makes an observation that flies in the face of a common belief amongst Christians.
The world is not becoming more secular. It's becoming more religious. We better wake up to that fact. I'm not saying more Christian. I'm saying the world is becoming more and more spiritual, more and more religious, and will become increasingly religious in the time of the end. I have an article from Better Homes and Gardens. They published a survey called the Spirituality Report. After compiling it, the editors at the beginning of the report said they were amazed at the size of response, how many people were eager to respond to their survey, to their poll. And they said that they are seeing the greatest influence of spirituality ever seen before in America. The editor wrote, quote, "A return to the basic moral values is long overdue. Or maybe it is the age of Aquarius, as some of the New Age folks think." This is what he concludes now. "Whatever it's all about, this new awakening, I welcome it. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is, but I like it, whatever it is. And I welcome it, whatever it is." Notice that the influence of this system will reach into the high places. It notices here the kings of the earth. Now, I don't want to go too whack hammer on this. I don't want to get so overboard, but just a thought. Since there will be demons, it says in Revelation, and some of the demons will have odd shapes, really weird shapes, and torment men upon the earth for 5 months, it says. I've been wondering, in the light of the current theme of the motion pictures and seemingly the world, what part UFOs and aliens might play in the future. If perhaps the demons that Revelation talks about wouldn't come from UFOs and be aliens, and you know, that's the big thrust. That's what people are just going toward in incredible numbers. For people who reject God, aliens are God substitutes. I knew they were there. They have the answer. Don Fetter from the Boston Herald said, "As a significant portion of the population drifts away from traditional religion, Americans are finding comfort in salvation and discipline from beyond the stars." You ask the average couch potato, and he or she will say, "You know, I don't know what all that stuff is, but I always thought something was out there." When you have that pervasive kind of a mentality, that something else out there that could perhaps turn out to be demons in the form of space aliens, and what deception might happen upon the earth. Verse 7, we don't have time to really explore that. "The angel said to me, 'Why did you marvel?'" Now, that's kind of an odd question. Who wouldn't marvel at this? And his mouth is hung open. He's going, "Whoa." The angel goes, "What's up with that? Why are you marveling at that? I will show you or tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. I think the reason John is marveling isn't because of the vision. He's seen enough already to stop anyone, but he's endured it. I think why he is marveling right now is he's already been introduced to the beast, chapter 13. He already saw in a vision that the whole world will worship the beast, the Antichrist. But now he sees a woman tied into this worldwide worship system that's sort of different, and she's on top of the beast, riding the beast, controlling, directing the beast. And he doesn't quite understand. I thought the worship world was worshiping the beast, but now this woman is here. What's that all about? The beast is then identified in verse 8. "The one who was, is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit." And we've already seen that, haven't we? Revelation 13, he has a deadly wound that is healed, a fatal wound. I think what will happen probably is some kind of a fake resurrection. Some miraculous thing. The Bible says the false prophet, by this sign and wonder, will cause the world at that point to worship the Antichrist, worship the beast. This beast has, we see up here in verse 3 and verse 4, 7 heads and 10 horns. We read in verse 9, the 7 heads are 7 mountains. And it says in verse 18, "The woman that you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Historically, the city called the City on 7 Hills has always been Rome. It's in all of ancient literature. It's the woman who sits on the 7-hilled city, Rome. We know that there will be a revived Roman Empire in the last days, as Daniel saw it, a political empire identified with the city, a 10-nation confederacy, as depicted here by the 10 crowns. But look at verse 10. "There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short time." Remember Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamed about this huge statue, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and then iron and clay, 10 toes. He didn't know what it meant, so Daniel stands before him and said, "I'll tell you what you saw. You saw kingdoms of the earth in their succession. Babylon being the first because you're the king of Babylon, followed by Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Do you remember that? It's in the book of Daniel. Four world governing empires. From Daniel's perspective, yet to come. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Prior to the time of Nebuchadnezzar, there were two other world governing empires, Egypt and Assyria. Now, they didn't control the whole globe, they couldn't, but they were the most powerful kingdoms of their time, and they're written about and predicted because of their relation to Israel. So, if you look at it historically, there was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And when John was writing this, the one that was Rome. He was exiled to Patmos by the Roman government. But there was another one yet to come, as Daniel saw, a revived Roman Empire. Daniel saw it with 10 toes, or 10 nations. He said were 10 nations banded together. John sees 7 heads and 10 crowns, which we're told are nations in another place. So here we have basically the same vision. The last kingdom will be the kingdom of the Antichrist. Now look at verse 10, the very end of it. He must continue a short time. It's only 42 months is his reign, we are told. Remember a few chapters before, 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation period. That's really the summation of his kingdom, a short time. Then verse 11, and this is really odd, but I better unfold it because I'll get a question about it. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. And he is of the seven and he is going to perdition. Now, what is that all about? Well, he's one of the seven. In fact, he's the seventh, but he's really the eighth, and he was and is not, but now he is. Look at it in the light of what we already know so far from the previous studies about the beast. What will happen to the Antichrist? He will supposedly die and be resurrected. He will have a fatal wound. That means he'll die, deadly wound, or at least it will appear that way. And so when he dies, his kingdom will die, that seventh kingdom, but it resurges once again. And so the seventh also becomes the eighth. And then it says the 10 kings yield their sovereignty to the Antichrist. Now, we know that there will be a revived Roman Empire of sorts. Exactly what that means, we don't know. I can't name nations. I find it interesting that it could be more than just Europe. It could be the whole world tied into this system. There's a push right now, and there's documents in print, where leaders are trying to divide the earth up into 10 geographical zones for ease of rule. There are many documents of that nature. I actually read one here some weeks ago. And we'll look at verse 6. There's an alliance not only with the beast, an alliance with the world, but she makes an alliance against God's people. I saw the woman drunk, verse 6, with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Every false religious system has always persecuted God's people. It's historically true. It will always be true. And we have seen so much of it already in the book of Revelation that will happen during this time. There's a conditioning right now going on in the world, and we see it in our country, a conditioning toward the elimination of people. Let me start with abortion and euthanasia. Those are hot topics. Abortion is legal in every state. It's even funded and sanctioned by the government in many cases. The idea is that an unwanted fetus can be eliminated by a mother's choice. The next logical step is what you see developing now, euthanasia. If an unwanted fetus can be eliminated, what about unwanted adults, those who are sick, old, terminal? And here is the trend, and here is the conditioning. Society is paving the way to remove any life deemed unwanted, unviable, unproductive. With that mindset, when the world under the beast worship and the worship of this false system sees the impediment as those fundamental Christians who are always preaching about Jesus and are just remove them. That is sort of the trend that is being set even now. Let's look now at the replacement of this system by the beast himself. Verse 16, the 10 horns which you saw on the beast will hate These will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Remember, this false system rides on top of the beast, and the very beast that supported her now devours her. Reminds us of that old poem that says there once was a lady from Niger who smiled as she rode on the tiger. They came back from the ride with a lady inside and a smile on the face of the tiger. That's the children's version of Revelation 17. The Antichrist will befriend this religious system, support the religious system, perhaps even be directed by the religious system, until she has fulfilled his agenda. And he is jockeyed into position, and the kingdoms of the earth yield their sovereignty to him, and there are no restraints for him to make himself the object of worship. Now, this is not new. We have read so much about this happening. Revelation 17, the whole world will worship the beast. I believe this will happen at the midway of the tribulation period. The way it pans out is that the first 3.5 years, the religious system in place will be this false Babylon the Great. At the midpoint of the tribulation period, since the Antichrist has to reign for 42 months, he sort of debunks the religious system and breaks another covenant he has made with the Jewish people in Jerusalem. It's called the Abomination of Desolation. This is what Daniel says about that. He, this ruler, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7-year period. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. By the way, this is nothing new. The communist regimes have done this for years. They come into an area, they make friends with all the religious leaders, they even put them in positions of authority until they're entrenched in the culture. Then they start persecuting and restricting the freedoms of the religious groups. Happened with Hitler, happened with the Soviet bloc, happened in Nicaragua. It's happening now. And that will happen on a worldwide scale. There will be a fake kind of a resurrection. The deadly wound is healed. The world goes after the beast. I've saved the best for last. Verse 14, I have skipped it on purpose to end with the ruin of this system by the Lamb. These will make war with the Lamb. Isn't that stupid? We're going to fight God. Come on, God, I choose you off. The audacity that you have enough firepower to do in God, that's how deceived they are. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Jesus will ultimately overcome. It's all detailed in Revelation 19. Don't turn to it yet. Wait till we get there. It's all laid out for us. He sets up his new kingdom, not the New Age kingdom, that man sets up his own everlasting kingdom. This is the stone that comes out of heaven. Remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar? He said, Daniel, I had this weird dream, this big statue. Daniel said, well, those are kingdoms that are coming. Yeah, but then in my dream, I saw this big stone fly out of heaven and smash the statue, and it annihilated the statue, and that stone grew into a mountain that covered the whole earth. What does that mean? He says, I'll tell you what it means. In the last period of time, Daniel said, when there are 10 nations that rule, the God of heaven will establish his kingdom upon the earth that will never end. That's what you saw. This is how Paul puts it in 2 Thessalonians. He succinctly compresses this whole episode in one verse. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Will there be a big fight? Will there be a big battle? No, Jesus will come and go, and that's over. The breath of his mouth, the brightness of his coming, the rebellious one will be wiped out by the returning one. And he will rule and reign forever. Notice it says, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. You know, John wants to show that the champ is not going to be the beast, but the Lamb. And anybody who follows the Lamb is following the right one. Anybody who follows the beast even under the umbrella of religion, is a loser. Compare verse 8 with that. The beast that you saw and was, is not, will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Which side would you rather be on? Side of the beast? Have your name not written in the book of life? Or follow the Lamb? Who will ultimately overcome? I want to leave this study with a charge to the church. I want to make an appeal to you, if you're not a Christian, to give your life to Jesus Christ today. But a lot of times we think, well, that's what the church service is for. Give an altar call and that's the pinnacle. My charge today is to you as Christians. You live in an age when the lines of truth are blurred, when it's acceptable to not be dogmatic about anything, especially Jesus Christ. People are drifting from the truth. My exhortation is cling to the truth at all costs. At all costs. These are the words of Charles Spurgeon written about 100 years ago. They're as relevant now as they were then. If the Lord does not speedily appear, there will come another generation and another. And all these generations will be tainted and injured if we are not faithful to God and to His truth today. We have come to a turning point in the road. If we turn to the right, mayhap our children and children's children will go that way. If we turn to the left, generations yet unborn will curse our names for having been unfaithful to God and to His word. I charge you, not only by your ancestry, but by your posterity, that you seek to win the commendation of your Master, that though you dwell where Satan's seat is, you yet hold fast His name and do not deny His faith. God grant us faithfulness for the sake of the souls around us. How is the world to be saved if the church is false to her Lord? Stand fast, my beloved, in the name of God. That's the charge. The world is coming to a religious point of abandoning the truth. Stand up for the truth. It might cost you everything. It might cost you a family. It might cost you a job. But you know, one day, you're going to hear the words from Jesus' own lips. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's worth it all to hear those words. That is graduation time.
Well, you never know how strong something is until you test it. And the same is true with our faith. A time is coming when faith will be tested to the breaking point. Will yours pass the test? And that's all the time we have for today. But if this message is one you'd like to hear again or share with a friend, stay with us and I'll let you know how to order a copy in just a moment. But first, here's how you can help us share the good news of the gospel with people all over the world.
Africa is the second largest and second most populous continent in the world. It contains almost 15% of the world's population in its 53 countries, of which Uganda is one of the poorest. While Uganda may not be the largest or richest African nation, with your help, it can be the nation that will change the continent of Africa. When you join the Global Connectors, you'll be a part of a team that's changing the country of Uganda with the good news of the gospel, and that good news will spread across the rest of Africa. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 a month and help us change the lives of the people of Uganda and the billion-plus people on the African continent. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, as a member of the Global Connectors, you'll receive a new resource to download each month. This month, you'll hear a message on James 5 by John Bosco Tulett of Called Christians in Uganda.
Because when you stand firm and in truth and being faithfully, when that day comes, you are going to be the blessed one, which God said that, come in, you who are blessed by my Father.
Africa covers 6% of the world's surface, and you can help us change lives all across that area, starting with the nation of Uganda as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to join. When you do, you'll also receive that free message from John Bosco Tulett in Uganda. Just call 1-800-922-1888 to join the Global Connectors today or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, so many still need to hear the gospel, and we'd love for you to be a part of Global Connectors and getting the word out worldwide. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, The Coming World Religion, just pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6, or you can place your order online at connectionradio.org. We also appreciate it when you take the time to write us, and we truly enjoy hearing your testimonies. So if you have something you'd like to share, please don't hesitate to write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
On our next broadcast, we take a look at a warning directed to the populace of a major city. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.